Please open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your net for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we walked all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their net began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For amazement had seized them and his companion because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so were John and James, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boat to the land, they left everything and followed him. I'm going to teach from this narrative this morning, and I'm simply going to title this morning's preaching, "Just Trust and Obey." Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us, that we may gather in this place to study, to show ourselves approved unto thee. Father, may thou now bless thy word as thy word is proclaimed. I commit this time of preaching into thy holy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We boarded a chartered boat just before sunrise to go fishing on the Chesapeake Bay. And as we sailed, the captain of the boat, who was well accustomed with the bay, would periodically stop and instruct us to cast our fishing rod into the water. This is one of the best parts to catch fish, it will say. And it was right. Though we had to exercise a lot of patience as we waited for the fish to bite the bait, but eventually we did get a catch. And at the end of the day, we caught a handful of fish, enough to make a delicious dinner. But loved ones, what we caught on the Chesapeake Bay on that day was pale in comparison to what a group of fishermen caught on the lake of Gennesaret. And it was not because of the expertise of this fisherman or the captain of the boat. Rather, it was because of the instruction of a carpenter. Well, you may wonder, a carpenter? Yes, a carpenter. How can a carpenter know how to navigate the sea? How can a carpenter direct experienced fishermen to the best part to catch fish, you may ask? Well, I believe this carpenter could, because this carpenter, as the writer of Hebrews would describe him, upholds all things together by the word of his power. Or as the Apostle Paul will put it, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. And is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 17. The name of this carpenter is Jesus Christ. And it's this narrative this morning that I want to exegete as I try to understand what is the big idea. But not only the big idea, what are the timeless truths that we can glean from this pericope of Scripture as we see the Lord Jesus here, able to direct this fisherman and to let him understand that just trust and obey is always the best policy in God's economy. So this is what brings me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Now, the setting for this narrative is by the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. After performing great signs and wonders in the previous chapter, chapter 4, Luke will record for us in chapter 4, verse 40, that the Lord Jesus, that all who had any form of sickness with various diseases were brought to him, and laying his hand on each one of them, he healed them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God," but rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. This was Luke chapter 40 and 41, or Luke chapter 4, 40 and 41. It was after this that the Lord Jesus now proceeded to the Lake of Gennesaret. And we begin at chapter 5, verse 1. We are told here that the Lord Jesus began to teach the Word of God. And there was a crowd that were listening to him and pressing against him and listening to the Word of God. This definitely must have been a sizable amount of people, because obviously they were pressing all around the Lord Jesus. And by the way, one thing you will notice about the ministry of the Lord Jesus was that though he loved people, he loved to heal, he loved to reach out to the least of them, but the Lord Jesus was not so impressed on how many people were following him. Neither was he carried away by his popularity. Rather, the Lord Jesus was more concerned about discipleship, making true disciples. In essence, his ministry was not to be a superstar. Rather, his mission was to make disciples. And we can find this when we go further in Luke chapter 14, because in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, we're told that a large crowd was following Jesus. Abruptly, he stopped. He turned back and he said to this crowd, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, church, I believe that one lesson that we can learn in our contemporary church about the ministry of the Lord Jesus is about focus. You know, we often focus on membership rather than discipleship. For many in our churches, it's all about the multitude. How many people are on your roll as church? How many people are following you on YouTube or Instagram, rather than about making disciples? And I think it's important for us to understand that the Great Commission that we were given in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, was not about making members, but rather about making disciples. That's why the Lord Jesus instructed us in the Great Commission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." May I remind you this morning that we as a church must not focus on the crowd, but ultimately focus on making disciples for Jesus. It's not about how big your church is. It's about how many disciples are you making within that church. Because disciples are those that are world changers. Disciples are those that understand that they've been called by purpose and they go out into the world to make a difference for Jesus. And I think if there is one thing that we can glean from the ministry of the Lord Jesus was that the Lord Jesus was not carried away by the multitude, but he was more concerned about making true disciples. So let's continue here. So we read that while the Lord Jesus was by the lake of Gennesaret and was teaching, he was being pressed. And we're told that in verse 2 that he saw two boats lying by the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Now, obviously, here, these fishermen were done for the day. There was no more use for those boats. And that's why they just sat and anchored by the lake, by the edge of the lake. But again, it's so interesting to me this morning, church, and I don't want to spiritualize this verse, that, you know, what laid idle by the side of the lake to man was actually a valuable tool in the hands of the Lord Jesus. In other words, these boats laying idle and not used, while men might have forgotten about this boat, the Lord Jesus looked at this boat and said, there's a value in it. Because the Lord Jesus was going to use this boat as a platform on which to sit and to teach. And loved ones, just like the narrative of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, where the 6 stone water pots lied idle because it was of no value at that present time, the Lord Jesus looked at those 6 stone water pots, and the Lord Jesus told them to go fill it with water, and he turned it to wine. This is what I want to draw from this, loved ones. You know, in case you don't know this, God specializes in turning uselessness into usefulness, in turning trash into treasure. You know, like those two boats, I believe that some of us might feel useless. You know, like those two boats, I believe some of us might be put aside by people, and people just ignore as if we don't exist because we've been used and we've been packed and we've been abandoned. But may I remind you this morning, loved ones, that you are not useless when it comes to God's economy. That God sees value. He sees value in you. That, listen, you might say to me, Pastor Wally, you don't know what I've been through, but I'm here to tell you that no matter what the world does, you've been left aside, you've been put aside, God sees value in you. And I remember a few years ago, a member of this church was pretty active in this church. And this member got sick. And when this member got sick, I went to see this member. And this member responded to me that, you know, I'm always active. And now I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. And depression is setting in. I really want to go into the house of God. I really want to serve God. I can't serve God because I'm not feeling in my good health. And I'm stuck at home. And you know what I told this member? I said to this member, you are not a waste. God never put nothing to waste. As a matter of fact, you might be in the best place for God to use. I said, why don't you begin to gather names of people and begin to pray for them? I said, why don't you now change the nature of the ministry you used to do? In other words, begin to change whatever that you're doing so that you can now be effective in this area of intercessory prayer. So this is the notion that I want you to understand. And I told this member this, and this member got excited because this member understood that while I might be parked on the side of the lake, while I might seem to be useless for now, but I can still be valuable in the hands of God because I can now go into a new area of ministry. And that's the ministry of prayer. And loved ones, this morning I tender to you, you are not a trash. You are not useless because in the hands of God, you're valuable. Just as these two boats, while they were parked on the side, idle, Jesus is going to use them for a great thing. And this is what we come to see when we go into verse 3. Because in verse 3 here, we're told that the Lord Jesus now said to Simon, He said, I want you to put away a little from the land. And then he sat down on one of the boats. I want you to watch it. And began teaching the people from the boat. What was once idol became the pulpit where Jesus now began to teach. Now, this gets interesting, loved ones, because in verse 4, when the Lord Jesus had finished teaching, he now turned to Simon. Said to Simon, Simon, I want you to put out into the deep water and let down your net for a catch. Now, you need to remember this, by the way, loved ones, that here was Simon Peter, that his profession was a fisherman. He must have navigated the Sea of Galilee, or what we know as the Lake of Gennesaret, so many times. He knew how to navigate this ocean. So this was a professional, shall I say. And the Lord Jesus is now telling this professional. Meanwhile, the Lord Jesus is a son of a carpenter. And we can assume that the Lord Jesus' profession was not fishing in terms of a regular fisherman. But here the Lord Jesus is now telling Simon, he's telling this professional, I want you to put out into the deep waters and let down your net. But Simon now said to the Lord Jesus, he said, Master, we worked out all night and caught nothing. I want you to pause for a minute right here. Simon is now saying, listen, we worked all night. We and my colleagues, we have been in this water, throwing our net into the water, seeking to get a catch, and we came out of nothing. There was nothing that we caught all night. That is why we're washing our net. That is why we packed our boat. We want to go home. That's my own rendition. And I want you to pay attention to this very well, because what we see here is what I call the struggle or the tension between the water god and physical reality. Again, it's the tension between the water god and physical reality. On one end, the Lord Jesus, speaking the word of power, tells Peter to go into the deep waters and cast his net. On the other hand, there is a physical reality. And what is that physical reality? Peter is saying to us that, listen, I've done all fishing all night. I've caught nothing. Listen. I've got absolutely nothing, Lord. That is the physical reality. And may I remind you, loved ones, this is the primary challenge that we often face in our daily walk of faith. The battle between the water god and physical reality. You know, the doctor comes in and gives you a negative diagnosis and tells you there is no hope. But the water god is saying to you that the power is there for you to be healed. And there is nothing impossible to God. The question is this, whose report are you going to believe? Or do you feel so good about something and everybody's doing it, but the water god is saying to you, no, that is not the way to go. No, that is the path of death. The question is that, whose report are you going to believe? Here is my counsel to you, loved ones. No matter how certain you are on the physical reality, no matter how things look on the physical reality, if the water god tells you that you should go ahead in terms of faith and believe in God, what God says, you do what God says. This is the power that we got to understand in the water god, that God's word never changes. It is power. It is not about the reality. It is about the water god. God's word is the power. That is why the Lord Jesus will remind us. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, from every rhema, the promises of God. And at times, like Peter, you might face obstacle in your life. Marriage might be dead. Everything might be gone. And you say, Lord, there is no hope. But the Lord is saying to you, I want you to stick it out, because I got a plan that you don't see. And you might face challenges in terms of your health. And the Lord will tell you, listen, the doctor might give up, but I got something that I'm going to do that's going to amaze everybody. Do you realize that God specializes in impossibilities? He wants to walk in your impossibility. He wants you to understand that it's not about what you see, it's about faith. And if you and I believe, if you and I will trust God and believe by faith, that he will call you, he will promise you he's able, then you will be able to see the great blessing of God. And may I remind you, loved ones, this is always the tension we face in our walk of faith. But let me remind you again, it's not what you really see. I'm not saying ignore reality. Oh, yes, reality must be there. We must be realistic. But we must also understand that we are people of faith. And that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that we walk by faith, not by sight. And here, the Lord tells Simon to go into deep waters, cast his net, and Simon presents the physical challenge. But I want you to underline that conjunction this morning. It said, but I will do as you say and let down my net. And this is very interesting to me, that Simon Peter, who obviously saw the insurmountable challenge here, who understood that, listen, I fished all night, I didn't catch nothing. But he said, but, Lord, at your word, I'm going to do what you say. He could have balked. He could have said, Lord, I'm not doing this. Lord, I'm taking you back to the shore because you don't know what you're saying. You are not a fisherman like I am. But rather, he humbly obeyed. You know, loved one, I need to bring out a point here. In our walk of faith, it is not really about understanding what God is doing or what God wants us to do. It is rather about obedience. Listen, in God's economy, it is obedience before understanding, not understanding before obedience. And here is one of our challenges, that we always seek to want to understand how God would do this before we can trust him. But if that is your modus operandi, if that is how you operate, you will never be able to feel to walk by faith, because guess what? You want God to prove himself. But may I remind you, God doesn't have anything to prove. What God wants you to do is that you don't really have to understand. You don't have to understand how you are going to heal, how you're going to be healed. You don't have to understand how God is going to move. You don't have to understand. All you need to do is to obey. All you need to say is, yes, Lord, I will go. And one thing you need to understand, that God who has instructed you is more than able to supernaturally put things around you to bring about the positive outcome. To bring about the positive. Listen, your marriage can still be healed. Oh, listen to me this morning. Listen, that finances that you think you're so bent and it's stuck, God can still. All you need to do is to obey God's word. Obey his word and watch God do wonders through your obedience. And here we see Simon said, Lord, I will. And we're told in verse 6 that when Simon had done this, when he had obeyed the Lord Jesus and he had cast his net into deep waters, something happened. If I can use my creative license here, I believe by the divine power of God, all the fish in the Sea of Galilee gathered together by that boat, because we're told here that Peter cast his net. All night, remember, he's been walking, nothing happened. But at this time, he cast his net into the deep, and he had a great catch. We're told here in verse 6 that they enclosed a great quantity of fish, that their net began to break. I believe Simon must have been stunned, because all night long he's labored, caught nothing, but simply by obeying the commandment of the Lord Jesus, it had yielded an abundant harvest. And perhaps Simon had done the same thing, had labored all his life. And now you can see that he trusted God at this point in his life. And you can see what's taking place. But I don't want you to forget the connection here. There's a connection between obedience and blessing. There is a connection between walking in the path of faith and blessing. Here was an evidence because here Peter or Simon obeyed the Lord Jesus. And through his obedience, the door of blessing was opened to Peter. And may I remind you, God wants to open a door of blessing for you. God wants to open a door that you don't even know. He wants to lift you to higher heights. But what he's saying to you, trust me here. Trust and obey me. Follow my instruction. Listen to what I tell you. When you obey Jesus, listen to me, loved ones. When you truly obey the Lord, when you walk in obedience before God, God is able to open doors that you know don't know exist. God is able to supernaturally walk in your favor, that you will find out that, listen, there was this treasure here all along and I never saw it. And the reason you never saw it was because you were walking with the eyes of man. But when you walk with the eyes of faith and you trust, the Lord will call you and will instruct you. There is the blessing. And loved ones, many of us crave blessings, don't we? Many of us want God to bless us. But the question is this, are you walking in obedience? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus? Are you doing what he said? Listen, no matter how much people tell you to the contrary, and people will tell you, listen, you don't have to wait on God. You got to do it yourself. You got to help yourself out. Every time you help yourself out, you will always end up messing everything up. That is why I tell many, I said, listen, God doesn't need your help. God has been doing this before you came here, and God will still continue to do it after you're gone. He's been doing this before creation, and he knows how to work everything out according to his perfect will. He will work it out. Just trust him. Just obey his word. And like Simon here, you will discover that when you cast your net into whatever God calls you to cast your net on, you will reap an abundance of harvest because God's favor is upon those who walk in obedience. And we're told here, it becomes interesting here, that Simon had so much of a great catch in verse 7. He signaled to his partners in the other boat, he called them to come over and help, and they also came. This becomes interesting because they also brought their boat. And when they brought their boat, they began to pull the net in. And the net was so, the boat was so filled, the first boat Jesus was in, and the other boat, that they all began to sink. They all began to sink. And loved ones, may I remind you that at times the blessing of God is not a drizzle, but it's a downpour. I'm reminded of the story. I'm reminded of Psalm 23 of David. When David said, thou set up a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflowed. I want you to watch the word of David. Overflowed. Again, the key here is that the blessing that Peter received here was not just a drizzle. It wasn't an handful of fish like we caught on the Chesapeake Bay. It was an overflow. Everything was running over. The boat was sinking. That tells you how much of a catch Simon got because of obedience. And may I remind you this morning, when God chooses to bless you sometime, watch out. You might begin to sink figuratively in that blessing because the blessing of God can overwhelm you because of your obedience. But now you'll expect Peter here to kind of get excited. At least that's what he desired all night. He's been fishing, right? But Peter, after the catch, now we're told that when Simon Peter saw all this stuff, rather than jumping off for joy, at least he's a proficient man. His job is to sell fish and make income. But rather, Simon Peter fell at the feet of Jesus. And he says something interesting. He said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. That is a powerful saying by Peter. Go away from me, Lord. Why would Simon Peter respond in such a way? I believe he responded in such a way for two reasons. First, because according to the verse 9, amazement seized him. He realized that the man standing in this boat with him, he realized that this carpenter's son, Jesus Christ, was the Theoanthropos. He was the God-man himself. He realized standing in my boat was just not an ordinary man. He realized that this was the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. He realized that Jesus was the God-man. And because of that, the fear overwhelmed him. He understood that this man was more than just what the eye beheld, that he was truly the Son of the living God. He was the God of gods. He was the one that was sent, that came into the world, that put on the form of a man and became obedient unto death. He knew that he was the one that was in the form of God. And Peter pleaded here, "I'm a sinful man, Lord." And I believe the second thing Peter realized was that he was unworthy of this blessing. He realized that, "Lord, it's not because of I'm good. It's not because of my good deeds. It's not because I crossed every T and dotted every I. It's not because I got it all right. It's not because I did all well. It's solely because of your mercy and your grace. I'm unworthy." And I truly believe those who have a humble heart, every time you encounter God's mercy in a powerful way, you will fall on your knees and weep because you understand how worthy you are. You will fall on your knees and cry out to God for mercy because you know not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit. You will understand that it's God who is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That is what Peter realized. That is what Peter realized. And every once in a while, I look at myself and said, "Lord, woe am I, for I'm a man that I'm a wretch undone, but God in his mercy will allow me to stand and to declare his holy word." It's amazing and it's humbling. And I think this is what Peter understood as he was in that boat with Jesus. That I'm an unworthy man, but Lord God, you have chosen to put upon me your mercy. And here we're told that James and John, the son of Zebedee, were partners with Peter, joined him. But in the midst of all this, the Lord Jesus now turned to Simon. He says, "Simon, now don't be afraid. For you will not be catching men." You know, I like how that sounds. That Simon, listen, I showed you something to let you know what is going to be the foreshadowing of your profession. That you are now going to move from catching fish to catching men. That you are now going to be able to cast your net into the body of humanity. And that net you're going to catch is going to be my word. And when you cast that net into the body of humanity, just like this fish came onto this boat, you will also be used by God to pull man into the kingdom of God. And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we're told that this fisherman named Simon Peter stood up in the midst of all the other apostles. And he proclaimed the first sermon of the church as it declared the risen Savior and the power of Jesus. And we're told that when he had finished preaching, there was also an harvest. 3,000 persons were added to the church on that day. And at times, I tell you, loved ones, God at times might come into your life in such a way that he will cause his blessing to come into your life. But the purpose of it is to lead you into a greater calling. The purpose of it is that you can be a witness of his glory. The purpose of it, you might be the one to testify of what God is doing. That God cannot use that mercy that he has shown you as a platform for you to now begin to speak of his truth. So that you also can let men and women understand that the same mercy that I receive, God is also able to do the same for you. Now, you'll expect Simon Peter and his colleague that when they came back to shore, they will definitely get excited, right? And they will go to the market and begin to sell their fish because guess what? They got tongue. They can. I mean, I don't know how much it will cost then. They probably had to make some money. But we're told that when they got to back to the shore, you know, when they brought their boat back to land, they did something very, very interesting. They left everything. They left everything. They left all that fish. I don't know who they gave it to, but they left it behind and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get that picture? That while their goal was to catch fish as fishermen, but even when they realized their goal and they were able to catch a bountiful harvest, they saw Jesus as more important. They saw Jesus as more worthy. They saw following Jesus as more important than their fishing business. They saw the treasure of God's kingdom more important than the material things of this world. And I ask you this morning that in the midst of God's blessing, do you see always the material things? Or do you see the greatness of the God who blessed you with the material things? Peter here chose to leave those material things behind. He chose to walk with Jesus. He chose to abandon his fishing profession. He chose to leave everything behind for the glory of God. And may I ask you this morning, are you making the same choice as it relates to your own life and your walk of faith? I'm not asking you to leave your profession. I'm not asking you to quit your job. But what I'm asking you, are you taking Jesus as the ultimate in your life? Are you putting him as the center of everything, the gravitational center of your life? Are you saying, Lord Jesus, yes, I'm thankful for the material things, but I'm putting you first. I'm putting you first. I'm not going to be stuck in the material world, but I'm going to live a life that glorifies you. I'm going to live a life that is going to honor you. And I believe that is the message this morning, that in spite of all that the Lord has blessed us with, despite all the material things you and I have, we got to be able to say, Lord, my treasure is not going to be built on this earth. My treasure is going to be built in heaven. Because that is truly where my reward lies. And this morning, loved ones, I've come to teach you this morning of this important truth. And what is that important truth? Just trust God and just obey God. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you can imagine or think, according to his power that worketh in you. God is able, like Abraham. Abraham understood that God is able because he hoped against hope. Daniel understood that God was able because in the midst of the lion's den, it was courageous because he knew that his God is able. This morning, when you trust God, when you obey him, look out for the outcome of your obedience. God is always faithful. Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning for this opportunity to declare thy word. Father, now pray for this word that has been made known. May thou use it for the glory of thy holy name. May thou bless both the hearing as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer.